So we're carrying on still in the first perek of Maseiros Yesharim. The principle that we discussed yesterday was not only are we elevated through serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the entire world is looking to us to use it in a way which brings it elevation as well. And even the physical elements of the world were designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that by themselves they're helpless. But through us, they have an elevation. Uvi'inyan avnei ha-makom shelakach Yaakov. Let's give an example of the stones that Yaakov Avinu took. V'sam mirah shotav, and he put them by his head. V'amru, and the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, melamed shenitkabtsu kulan le-makom echad. V'ayta kol achad omeret. All those stones gathered there together. And they were all saying, Alai yaniach tzadik rosho. We're giving human qualities to inanimate objects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world in a way that the world itself is longing to be used in the service of Hashem. And what's miraculous about this particular story is, Chazal tell us that it said Evan Echad at the end, and the Rashi writes that there were 12 originally, but then they all became one, and he lay on all of them. That when a person has a desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if their desire is strong, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly give them a way to express it, if it's a pure desire. And even if it seems like it's impossible because there's 12 and there's only one person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can work that out as well, don't worry. All the 12 became one, and Yaakov was able to lie on all of them. Because when a person has a true desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it won't go empty-handed. Hashem will find a way to fulfill it. And the Maseiros Yesharim is teaching us that even the world itself is longing for us to use it. Like we're here not only encouraging ourselves, not only giving nachas to our parents, not only giving nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving pleasure to the entire world that we benefit from when we use it in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei al ikar zeh irunu chazal v'medrash koheles shamru chazal in koheles rabbe perek zayin re'et ma'asei elokim. B'sha'a she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara et Adam HaRishon, the time when Hashem created Adam, natalo, he took him, ve'hechaziro, and he took him around, al kol ilanei Gan Eden, and all the trees that were in Gan Eden, va'amar lo, after showing him all the trees in Gan Eden, all the elements of the physical world, he said to him, re'eh me'asai, kama na'im u'mushubachim hein. We just pause there for a second. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something which in itself is beautiful. But we are in our own world in a sense. And we take things for granted. Adam HaRishon came into the world and it was taken for granted. And only if a person is mitbonen, they pause to contemplate, do you recognize the beauty of something that's happening. One amazing example of this concept is the fact that we're all here learning Torah and Eretz Yisrael. And when you look from a historical perspective, what's happening now is very, very unique. And things like what we have now, the opportunity we have now, hasn't happened for over 2,000 years. The opportunity that we have, that we can just come to Eretz Yisrael, we can fulfill all the mitzvahs without any gezeiros, and the opportunities that we have to bring in easily people from all over the world, when you read the stories of from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, it was a tirchah to come back and forth. And for us, it's just an easy thing to do. And to learn Torah, it's so natural to us, it's so second nature to us, that we don't pause to contemplate. So what we are living is a miracle. And if not a supernatural miracle, it's a historical miracle that we're living in. And the sense of gratitude that we can develop and appreciate and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the era that we are living in, to be able to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael without any gezeiros, without anything holding us back, just our desire to learn can be answered immediately. It's something which, if we choose to contemplate, will give us a great sense of awakeness to connect to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Adam that message just by saying to him, let's walk around the trees and look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? But if you see that the nature of man is he wouldn't necessarily contemplate it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to Adam HaRishon was, look how beautiful it is, contemplate it. And only after Adam has gone around with Hashem and appreciated the beauty of the world, And now he's amazed. It wouldn't work to say the next line before the first line. Only when Adam is already amazed by the world, this is amazing, this world, it's beautiful. Yes, Hashem, I agree with you. I recognize it. I didn't notice it initially, but now that you pointed it out, I see it. Then Hashem added another line. Kol ma shebarati bishvilcha barati. There are three parts to this sentence. Part number one is, notice deeply this world is beautiful. Wow. Takes time. You can't just say it. You have to do it. You have to experience it. Go and notice it. Appreciate it. And Adam did that. Then Hashem did part two. It's all yours. It's all for you. It's all yours. And I love you. And I'm giving you these tools to use in the world. Out of my love for you. To give you benefit. To express my love. Isn't it amazing? And then he noticed the second thing. It's all for you. I once read a story of two friends. Who one went one path in life, one went another path in life, and one financially was very successful, and one wasn't at all, and was suffering a lot. And the wealthier friend bought an apartment and called the poorer friend in. He said, "Come, I've just bought this apartment. I want you to come and see it." And he took him to the apartment and he showed him this feature and this feature and this room and this room and this room, and showing him around this whole beautiful apartment. Oh, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. Look at this feature. Oh, amazing. Oh, look at this. And noticing all these features. And then he gave him the keys. And he said, "It's yours." He said, "What do you mean it's mine?" He said, "I have enough. This is for you. Just inheritance, it comes back to me. But you can use it as long as you and your wife are in this world, it's yours. Afterwards, it'll come back to me. But for you, it's yours. Look around this world, see how beautiful it is." And after he says, "And it's all yours. Just because I'm your friend, and just because I love you, and just because I believe in you and I trust you, I'm handing this world over to you." So part one of the sentence was, deeply appreciate. Part two was, kol ma shebarati bishvilcha barati. Everything in this world is yours. I created it just for you. And then part number three, tein da'atcha shelo tekalkel v'tachriv et olami. And again here, it's interesting that it uses the word das. Tein da'atcha, put your mind to it. That you don't ruin and destroy, two different levels. Olami, my world. Once again, it's my world or it's your world? Whose world is it? No, I created it for you to use, but it's my world. It's Hashem's world. What does it mean that it's Hashem's world? Olami. Why isn't it Adam's world? Olamcha, he's given it over to him. Because it's a world which will always be our way to connect back to Hashem. It's the world of Hashem. If you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going into the home of Hashem, that's the place where you can connect to Hashem. If you're going into the world of Hashem, then it's a world that you identify as a world through which you can connect to Hashem. So Hashem says to Adam, look how beautiful it is. Do you see it? Do you see how beautiful it is? Notice it deeply. It's all for you to use. Barati bishvilcha. Everything I made for you to use. Now I know that the default will be that man won't pay attention to use it in the right way. Like we learned yesterday about the Nimshach. And the default is that we're pulled down. The default is that we could with time become selfish, chas v'shalom, and lose focus of Hashem. And then we'll start to use the world for our own benefit and forget about the fact that Hashem gave it to us to use for Him. Mashallah maha davadome. A parent says to a child, "You're going to yeshiva. I want to make sure that you stay in touch with me to give me nachas. So I'm buying you a phone. Take this phone. I want you to call me every day and share with me how yeshiva is going. Like, I want to be part of your experience. Share with me." But the guy gets to yeshiva and he discovers there's snake on the phone. You know what snake is? Snake? So there's snake on the phone. And he never had a phone with snake before. He doesn't know what that is. Snake! So at the beginning it was just during Bein HaSdorim, but then afterwards it was even during Sdorim, he's playing snake. And he's playing and getting to a new level and a new level. And it gets longer and longer, and it's more difficult, and he figures out how to switch around and quickly move the pieces so that he won't eat himself. And he forgets to phone his parents because he's playing snake. And he forgets to come to Storim because he's playing snake. And his parents are saying, "What happened to him? What happened?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a world, and the whole purpose of Hashem giving us the world was for us to use to connect back to Him. That was the reason that Hashem gave it to us. But sometimes we get so involved in the world that the world kind of takes a life of its own and we get absorbed in it. And we forget to use it to connect back to Him. So we're mistreating the world in two ways. One, we're mistreating it because it's not what it's supposed to be used for. Two is, it's not only not what it's been used before, it's going against the whole purpose of its creation. And one is, you're not using it appropriately, you ruin it, but said there. Okay, you ruined it. Bad, tough luck, you know, you had an opportunity and you missed it. But the whole reason it was designed was just for you to be able to connect back to Him. So Hashem said those three phrases. Notice deeply how special it is. It's all for you because I trust you. I believe in you. I'm empowering you. But I know that the default is that if you don't attain das, if you're not actively engaging in this relationship, and das is the word the Torah uses for a deep relationship, Adam yada et chava ishto. The word yada means to engage in a relationship. So if you don't deeply engage in the relationship, tein da'atcha, you won't be able to use the world effectively. The world will be used in a way which will be taking you away from Hashem. Charev et ha'olam. Kalo shel davar. Here's the essence of what we're trying to say. Ha'adam lo nivra ba'avur matzavo ba'olam hazeh. The long-term plan of Adam, man in this world, was not for his position in this world. The real plan was for the long-term vision, for the next world that we're building. But the state you're in this world is the means for which you can get to the next world, which is the purpose. We just spoke a few minutes ago about Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is like a mini this world, next world. On Rosh Hashanah is determined how a person's whole year will go. And the way that a person behaves on Rosh Hashanah, if I want to be more accurate, the way that the will that a person develops, in other words, the desires that a person develops on Rosh Hashanah, which are towards Hashem, doing the will of Hashem, expressing Hashem in the world, that lays down the foundation for how the whole year will go. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's what determines how the whole year will go. It's almost like, to give a mashal, it's almost like, if a baby is developing in the womb, then if Chas V'Shalom, there's a small sickness that develops there, then Chas V'Shalom, Lo Aleinu, that could develop that in when the child's born, there'll be a long-term womb for the child's whole life. But if that same sickness would come to a person when they're already an adult and developed and have all the antibodies, it wouldn't affect them. Because it's a stage where you're still in the process of building something. It's still being formed. It's still being developed. Rosh Hashanah is a unique 2 days, which is the development of the person's year, like in the womb. And how a person behaves and how a person expresses his will during those 2 days, it's how the whole year, it will all come out in the expression. It will all be expressed later on in the course of the year. You invite someone for a meal, you're cooking, and you're not looking, was it the salt, was it the sugar, was it wine, or was it red vinegar? Whatever, it all looks the same, you just pour it in. As you're cooking, it doesn't make much of a difference. It all looks like it's okay. Like it. Looks delicious, actually. But when you sit down to eat and you start cutting and you put it in your mouth, ah, it's disgusting! What happened? You don't necessarily see initially. Initially, it looks like everything's going smoothly. But long term, the effect is very, very clear. Rosh Hashanah is a day, 2 days, which are the days where we lay down the foundation for how our entire year is going to go. That's why it's essential on the days of Rosh Hashanah to be at one's best you could ever be. Even if it's challenging, and even if a person knows they're going to go back to how they were afterwards, but if you can hold on to your ideal state, both in your speech, your action, and to the degree possible, also even one's thoughts, to focus and align one's thoughts with God's thoughts, then that will determine how the potential that you have for the entire year. So that's true on a mini scale, Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis the year. It's also true regarding the whole world. This world is like a Rosh Hashanah for the next world. How we are in this world is laying down the foundation for how the whole year is going to go. This world is like the development in the womb of the next world. There is a beautiful, beautiful mashal in the book Gesher HaChaim. Gesher HaChaim is a book on Avelus. And there are three parts to it. One part is practical halacha. One part is iyunim, like more iyun. And one part is hashkafa. Hashkafa of this world and the next world and neshamas. And in part three, where he speaks about neshamas and this world and the next world, so he opens the book with a mashal where he parallels this world and the next world. And I spoke about this last year and someone told me there's also a song about it. I don't remember what song it was. There's probably a song about this too. Where you have twins in a womb who are developing. And they think they have the ideal world. They have the water to swim around in, the fluid they can swim around in, and all their needs are being provided for, and they're developing well. They're not sure exactly why they have ears and a nose and a mouth. It's a bit awkward, these like legs which get in the way for them swimming, and it's getting more squashed as time goes on. But they're enjoying themselves. Everything is provided for. It's an enjoyable time. From some far distance, there's nice background music playing. It's all beautiful experience. And then one day, the one is born. And the other one who's left behind is a bit of a critic. And he says, "Oy vey, what happened to him? He's died." Because relative to that world, he's died. And he actually, if it's possible to, you know, use a bit of creative imagery, right? He hears the crying, right, from through the womb. He says, "Oh my gosh, it's terrible. He's suffering. What pain he's going through." And vis-a-vis his world, it's actually a tragedy. Because who's taking care of him now? Where's his protection? What's he going to swim in? But vis-a-vis this world, it's a great celebration. Suddenly the ears are understood why they're there. And we understand why the nose is there. We understand why the arms and legs are there. And we understand that the crying is actually an expression of life. And everyone around is smiling and laughing and happy and making a bracha of Shechianu, Atova, Ameitiv. And everyone's rejoicing. And the baby inside the womb is crying. That's exactly what happens from the womb to this world, and what happens from this world to the next world. From this world to the next world, it looks to us like it's all ended. Everything came to an end. And you know, we hear crying, and we don't know what's happening over the other end. It looks to us like it's a terrible situation. A tragedy has taken place. He was leading such a good life. Everything was so good. Everything was so joyous. We were having such fun together. And it's true that, you know, for the one left behind, it's very painful. That's undeniable. For the one left behind, it's very painful. But for the one who's moving to the next world, celebration, laughter, joy. So our whole world is viewed as the building towards the next world. And the development that we have in this world, just like a baby growing in the womb, some things aren't clear why they're there. They actually don't even make sense for that world. It's not clear why you have a heart with a hole in the womb. It's not clear why that's there. But when a person's born, and that hole closes, and those lungs that were depressed become expanded, everything makes sense. That's what an ear is for. That's what a nose is for. That's what the eyes are for. It all makes sense. We enter the next world. This world is the world of preparation. Ha'olam haba is the world of achilas ha'mukhan kfar, where we get to benefit from everything that we've put an effort for in this world. As Chazal tell us, we've already quoted, ha'olam hazeh domeh l'pruzdor, ha'yom la'asatam ha'machar l'kabel scharam, mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, hu yochal b'Shabbos. This world is comparable to the land before you go and set sail. Whatever you take with you, you have for the journey. And elaborating on that mashal that we just gave, v'tireh be'emet shekvar lo yuchal shum bal seichel la'amin shetachlit brit ha'olam limatzavo b'olam hazeh. Anyone who's thinking, anyone who has any seichel, it doesn't make any sense that the purpose of us is for this world. Just like the womb. It doesn't make any sense for the two twins in the womb to say, why do you have an ear, why do you have a nose, why do you have an eye? When you look at the self that's developing in the womb, it doesn't make sense that the end goal of what the creation there is for that world, the world in the womb. It doesn't make sense. There's so many elements of the body developing in that world which just don't fit into what you need to be doing and what your purpose and what your mission is there. Why do you have all those parts to you? It doesn't make sense. And so too in this world. It doesn't make any sense when you look at this world and all that one goes through in this world, if the mind says this world is for the sake of this world, it doesn't make any sense. All that we go through, everything that we experience, it's not logical that this world is for the sake of this world, just like it's not logical for the baby to develop in the womb, for that world. Ki mahem chaye adam ba'olam hazeh. What actually do we do in this world? Mihu sameach v'shalev mamash ba'olam hazeh. If you say this world is to be happy and enjoy, have a good life, who has a good life in this world that it justifies this world overall? Yemei shateinu b'em shivim shana v'im b'grot shivim shana. We live 70, 80 years. V'rabam amal v'avin. And most of them are suffering. For the vast majority of the world, it's like that. Becoming a tsar, what does tsar mean? Tsar is where you want something and you're not getting it. The cholaim, or sickness, the sickness people go through, had a hard life. Umachovim, where it's not a sickness, but there's pain in other areas, maybe financial pain or other pains that a person's going through. utzradot, and even if a person has a good life, there's so many things you have to be involved in, which don't seem to have any benefit. It's just endless chores that were once taken care of, which, you know, you have to do, you have to do. But when you work out the amount of time that you have that you feel is productive, vitality time, it's a minority. Most of a person's time is either sleeping, taking care of chores, or working that a person has to work, which, you know, he'll invest in and he'll make the most of, but that's not what he feels he came for this world for, you know, to file other people's accounts. Even if you're very good at accounting, right? But still, he doesn't give that sense of satisfaction, like, Baruch Hashem, I had my 60 years in the office and I filed those accounts very well. Very good. Okay, I was really to support my family. Okay, so you did that well, but like most of your time was invested in something which is not even what you want to do. Most of our life is a tirda. It's a waste. It's a waste if that's the whole purpose of this world. V'achar kol zos ha-maves. And what do we get at the end? And what are we looking forward to? What's the great success that we get to? Based on the same theme, if anyone wants to read it, at the beginning of Michtav Meliyahu, Strive for Truth, he has a piece along the same theme where he describes visions of people's lives. And he has a mashal there of like a person who says, I'm going to work hard in my life so that I can retire and really enjoy myself, and that's where it's all going to be for. And he describes how the person works so hard, and they're working hard, but what's keeping them going is the vision of when he eventually retires. And they eventually retire, and they're so old, right, because they had to keep working to get their pension, they're not able to really enjoy everything. Like, if they would still be 25, then they could really enjoy life. But at that point, they're like, you know, going around the world with their cane. And so there are some people who get a couple of good years in between retiring and old age setting in. But like, if that's the whole purpose of the world, it's a pathetic system, right? It's not a productive system. It's not designed in a very good way. Echad mini elef, one in a thousand lo yimtza shirbeh ha'olam lo hanot v'shava amitit. A person to really enjoy life. It's about one in a thousand, and not even that. Right? You look at the poor people, they feel they're suffering because they got the short end of the deal. You look at the rich people, they're suffering in other ways because there's often family strife, or they're not satisfied because the neighbor has a big house. Whatever it is, that everyone's involved in different things. And even if someone has financial fun, there's often sickness in the family, or there's community issues which are going wrong, and one's hearing tragedies around the community. Like, wherever a person is, a person's always in a life of suffering. And if the end goal, the end purpose of this world, then just like a baby in the womb is developing with lots of things that don't seem to have a purpose there. You don't know what their purpose is or why they're there. So also us in this world, it looks like what we're really looking for is so minute that it's batel. It's so insignificant. If you're looking at this world for the sake of this world, that it's irrelevant. And you look at like what the non-Jewish world sees as the goal, and it's like who they look up to and their fans, and like who they're, like, you know, they're, whether it's in sports or whether it's in music or whether it's in acting, whatever it is, that's really pathetic. I mean, it's really like all the people who are following, who what gives them a kick is that they're somehow connected to someone else. And that person has a drug overdose. Like, what's that person's like great big take to life? Like, what's their big claim? Like, they can kick a ball very, very far. I came to this world and I developed my skills and I'm able to throw a ball tens of meters. Oh, I made it in life. It's really pathetic when you look at like the value system of the non-value orientated world. The gamhu, and even that person who feels like he made it, Ilu yagi ala mea shana, he makes it to 100 years old. Kfar avar v'batel min ha'olam. V'lo od ela she'im tachlit b'riyata. That's point number one. Right, point number one, if you're looking at this world for the sake of this world, it's pathetic. It doesn't seem fair or logical that our purpose in this world is for the physical benefits that we get from this world. Because there's a lot more pain, a lot more suffering, a lot more, even not suffering, but just like effort that's unprecedented, unaccounted for, unnecessary. That's point number one. And point number two, Im tachlit b'riyat ha'adam haya letzorach olam hazeh, if really it was that we came into this world for the sake of this world, lo haya tzarich mipnei zeh shetinupach bo neshama kol kach chashuva ve'elyona shetiye gedola yoter min ha'malachim atzma. Our soul has a sense of desiring something higher, connected to something greater. Most people in the world experience this on some level. And people channel it in different ways. Some people channel into politics, and they want to be, you know, part of some organization, some party. Some people channel into sports, and they're, I'm a fan of this big group. Some people channel it into a religion or a cult. I'm part of something greater. Some people channel it into their history, right? Let's say I'm an African American. Do you want to go back to Africa? No, but I'm an African American. Okay. Like, and they have some like bigger vision that they're part of, which they feel they're connected to, which makes them feel outside of themselves, which they're like, there's more meaning and more purpose, because they're connecting to a higher dream, a higher vision. I'm part of something even greater than who I am. And there's a lot of like neo, whatever you want to add to the word neo, where people are like looking for new age things, or people are like connecting to energies and spirits and souls and like all these things, where essentially it's the neshama calling out to connect to Hashem. But without clarity in the world of how to do that in the authentic way, people are like groping in the darkness for like some sense of answering their inner need for meaning beyond what they have. And that there's an existential need that people have to realize they're higher and they're more than just the earning money and having children and then dying and leaving that inheritance. So the children can earn money and have children and die and leave that inheritance. So that their children can earn money and die and leave that inheritance. And it just keeps going on. People have this need for something greater. There's more in life than this. So just like we spoke about in the womb, where it doesn't make sense that Hashem would give us all these different features, where there's no need for them at that stage, it's obviously pointing towards they're going to be used in the next stage in life. So too, when you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us with an neshama, which universally there's a desire to connect to something beyond the self, to connect something with more meaning and more purpose, to connect something higher and connect to it, to be part of something greater. That's not explained why that is like that, but everyone can sense that they have that. Why is that there? Not for this world. Just like in the womb, the eyes and the ears are not for that world, but they are helpful and, in fact, essential for the next world. That's why they develop in that world, to be used in the next world. So to our neshama in this world, it doesn't make sense that we have it. It's not needed. We could just be like an animal without that desire for meaning and for purpose and for connecting something higher, and we would function just fine. In fact, a lot better. A lot better. Animals don't get depressed about not having fulfilled their mission in the world and having an existential midlife crisis. They just carry on, you know, eating and going to the bathroom and eating some more. And they're quite good at that. Because they don't have that neshama pulling them to something higher. But we do. And it causes us a lot of suffering, because if we're not answering that inner need, then what are we doing here in this world? So why did Hashem give it to us? It's obviously not for here. It's obviously for the next stage. But as we build it, just like in the womb, as you build the eye and the eye develops, and as the ears develop, and as the lungs develop, and as they need to develop in that world in order for them to function well in this world, so too our neshama needs to develop here in this world to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that when we get to that next world and we've answered that need, it will be able to sense that closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're developing an understanding of our life, understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a sense of meaning. We're tuning into that feeling of the neshama and understanding that all of our pulling and our desire to connect to something greater is in this world. You may never be satisfied in this world. You may always throughout your life feel that need to connect to something higher. It will take you to the next step and next step and next step, and you may never get it answered. And it's good that you never get answered, because then you would stop. Hashem always wants you to be taking that next step. So throughout this world, you'll be constantly developing and asking yourself, what's it all for? What's it all for? But keep developing and keep developing and keep developing. And ask what it's for, but you'll get an answer eventually. Maybe not in this world, but when you make it through the womb, and people behind here may be crying, but you in the next world will be laughing, and all those who will greet you will be laughing and happy as well, because they'll say, you developed well in this world. You had answered the neshama's call in this world, and look who you've become, look what you've developed yourself into for that next stage in life. Shakar.